Good morning. Today's reading is Psalm 23. It's a Psalm of David, and it's on page 544 of the Brown Bibles if you'd like to follow along. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Good morning. Again, thank you again for this opportunity to be able to share with you about God's word here. We need to continue to pray for Louis. Ask Louis here. That he will be able to recover fast. Apparently his wife also quite sick, huh? How many of you will be watching Super Bowl today? Wow. Apparently one of the quarterbacks from Philadelphia Eagles, Nick something. Apparently when he was high school, he was actually planning to go to become a pastor. Somehow God directed him, and he obviously did not, but he said that after he finished with his career in football, he would like to serve the Lord. Isn't it something special? God is so great to see that indeed he guides us in many and different ways. As we all, from young, growing older and older each day, and as we begin the year, we realize there are many challenges both for young and for older folks. We do not know what the future holds, and we don't know what God is going to do. And there are so many temptations, there are so many things that can draw us from the path that God has for us. And it is because of that I was thinking, well, it might be very appropriate for us to look at Psalms 23. Psalms 23 is so familiar to all of us. For many of us, we have probably memorized them, and we have quoted them, and we have also experienced the truth of Psalms 23. And I thought maybe it's a good time for us to remember that, and also to kind of see how God can continue to apply the truth of God, his word in Psalms 23, in our lives too. And I myself have also experienced. And the reason why I also brought this up is because David himself has gone through that. Even as you look into his life as a shepherd, and he saw how God led him when he was young to the time when he was he became king. Even though at that time when he became a shepherd, as you know, shepherd in the ancient time when David was writing this, agriculture was the main things that a lot of people do. It was one of the shepherd was one of the common occupation. Though it was a common occupation, those people who ended up doing this job was the poor, the uneducated, and the youngest in the family. And it so happened, remember when God was, King Saul failed God, and God says, you have told Samuel, you have to get another person to come and lead Israelites. And God has in mind David. And so Prophet Samuel went to Jesse, David's father, and he was looking around for the kind of person that God would like to lead. Instead of, and Jesse show all his sons to the prophet Samuel. And the Lord says, none of this. But at the end of the day, he said, God told Samuel, asked, do you have another son of yours? Even though the rest of the brothers, they look strong, powerful, look like a person who will be able to lead the whole Israelites. And God says, no. When you come to look, don't look at the outward appearance. And so at the end, when they brought David, who was then the shepherd, immediately God says, this is the right person. I have chosen him. And shepherd, even though at that point in time wasn't important, but God has a way of preparing a person for the future. It's the training of the heart that is more important. I still remember, before we do that, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you again for this opportunity to share your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit, Father, will use this word to glorify Jesus Christ and minister to us. With your word, Lord, we thank you and praise you because you are the one that we look to, and your word is the one that set us free. And we thank you for that, Lord. And I especially want to pray for Pastor Lee and his wife, that you will continue to heal him and be with him, Lord. And also among us, if there are anybody sick here, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to be with them and heal them and touch them in a very special way. For those who are struggling with crisis in their lives, at home or at workplace, Father, you know our needs, Lord. Be with us. We thank you so much again for all that you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, talking about God's training the heart, I still remember when I first was sent to Australia for the Bible college. And every morning, every one of us, when we were in the seminary, in this huge castle in southern Australia, called Southern Australia, every one of us has to do duties. So we wake up about 6:30 in the morning, we have to start working. So it go by shift. One of my shift was to do cleaning, sewage. Boy, it was so hard because every morning for about 6 weeks, I have to go around cleaning the sewage. And the sewage is, you know, sometimes you have things popping out to the surface. It doesn't look very appealing to me. And I still remember every time I clean the place and I go for breakfast, the memory of that and the picture of things I have done continue to float around my mind, and I could hardly eat my breakfast. And in my mind I was thinking, what on earth is this seminary trying to do to me for this kind of training? But after all these years, I realized that it is the training of the heart that is very important, because it is the training of the heart that makes a person for what God wants us to be. And so when God has appointed, in a similar way here, when God was looking for the a king to lead his people, he was looking for a person who has that kind of character to lead. And it is so good to be able to see how when we search for a leader here, often in churches and that places, people look for, what kind of qualifications do they have? Or maybe they are from this Harvard, or they are from that seminary, the huge, with all these degrees behind. But God seek what is most important is to seek the heart first. And I'm so glad that you have also chosen a very good pastor over here, Pastor Lee, that you guys are able to match together all these years. And in some ways, a lot of pastors also really envy you guys, because he has such a love for God, such a good heart, and to be able to continue to get the kind of support that you give him so that he can bless you and continue to provide the kind of leadership here. It is so exciting. So, and that is the shepherd. The Lord here is my shepherd. It says, I shall not be in want, or I shall lack nothing. Sheep here, just that historical background here, was the chief source of wealth in those days, because it provided milk, meat, hides, and wool. Abraham, Jacob, and Esau, important people, they had a lot of sheep, and therefore sheep. Therefore, they were very wealthy. And sheep, when they are domesticated, they are very gentle, docile, often very defenseless, and in need of constant supervision. I still remember when I was in Australia, I worked in the farm. Very hard work when you work in the farm. And sometimes I have to guide this sheep. This sheep over here, they often tend to when they run into what you call into the fence, they do not know how, often they do not know how to turn around and move somewhere else. They will continue to charge themselves into the fence until somebody, the shepherd, guide them away from doing all this damage to themselves. So it is so appropriate when David wrote the psalm over here, Psalm 23, it's a reminder often of all of us that we tend to be like sheep, easily led astray by the world, by the riches of the world, by pride, by sins, and by all the things the world has to offer. And so I thought this psalms here is so appropriate for us to look at it and study from it. It said, the Lord is my shepherd. The God Almighty, creator of heavens and the earth. When David wrote this, it's just like he cannot come up with something that can appropriately show the heart of God, how much God loves his children. And the term that he kind of, the metaphor that he can kind of come up with is a shepherd, because shepherd, for those who are not hired shepherd, it's those people who truly care for their sheep. Are those people who are willing, as Jesus says, sacrifice their life for the sheep, really care for them, provide them. So over here, you cannot think of God, this great God, come up with the term that the Israelite can understand. So when he was thinking about the Lord is my shepherd, it brings back a lot of memory. Remember how God was leading the Israelite from Egypt all the way to Promised Land? During that time, it was very difficult for the people. How the Lord provided them, they were apparently, the scripture says, there were about 650,000 men, but added with women and children, probably they say it's about more than 2 million people. 2 million people is a lot of people to lead them from Egypt all the way to the Promised Land over here without a lot of problems. The question is, how on earth do you provide their needs for these 2 million people? And the scripture says, if you can turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11, to 16. Ezekiel chapter 34. It is in the Old Testament after Jeremiah, Lamentation, and then Ezekiel. Chapter 34, verse 11. Chapter 34, verse. Let me start with verse 8 first. As surely, do you guys got it? Let me read to you aloud, okay? As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flocks lack a shepherd, and so has been planted and has become food for all wild animals. And because my shepherd did not search for the flock, but cared for themselves rather than for the flock, for my flock. This is not the passage I'm looking for. I'm looking for the passage that says that they were in the desert. Somehow the clothing did not wear out, and the shoes also did not give out at all. For 40 years they were walking. Now, in my mind, I was thinking, how on earth you can have clothing for 40 years, same way, same clothing for 40 years, and you have to wash them and clean them, and they don't wear out, and the sandals do not wear out too. Those sandals must be so much better than all the Nikes that you ever imagined. Or the clothes that they wear. You may not have the one that we have. Sometimes we look into our wardrobe. We have all kinds of clothes, Sunday clothes, we have Saturday this, and function clothes, we have wedding clothes, and this and that. They probably didn't have all that, glamorized clothes over here. But they have enough for them to be able to enjoy, so that it lasting. In other words, God not only provide them for their daily needs, but also for the clothing not to be able to wear out during the 40 years. How wouldn't you like that? It is a miracle for them to be able to enjoy what enjoy. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when the Lord is our shepherd, somehow when he blessed us with all the things that he had, if the Lord is in the center of our life, all these things that he blesses with has a way of lasting, outlast us. Like for instance, when we dedicate our home to him, when we dedicate our, all that we have to him, the Lord has a way of enriching when we give to him, enriching more than what we ever give to him. And so, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us therefore practice this. First, put God as the Lord of your life. Number one, in all the things we are and do, because if we do that, yes, that includes trying to find your education, that includes your job, that includes your marriage. Yes, that includes the crisis that we are going through in our lives. Because God is interested not only with all the, blessings that we get, but also in time when we are going through the crisis. My wife and I, as I've told you, we went through tremendous struggle for the last few years. I literally have to give up my ministry to take care of my wife, and because she has to, because of the difficulty that she is going through. And there were nights I was asking, Lord, what are you doing? I have served you, and I have done all this thing here, and now you bring us to this kind of position. And the Lord says, I am going to be with you. Do not fear. Because the Lord is my shepherd. And when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, there is a sense of joy, there is a sense of thanksgiving, there is a sense of pride there. It's not an exclusive relationship, but it's a unique, special relationship that he enjoys. Like for instance, when you have found a good pastor like Pastor Lee over here, when you announce to people, you always said, wow, I have a pastor there. I'm so glad I have this pastor. And please come and join us in the church. And on the other hand, when you have a person that you don't quite enjoy be around, you kind of very hesitate in terms of trying to introduce the person, right? It's true of my wife too. I'm very proud of her. I like to introduce her to let people know about who she is, because she has done a lot of sacrifice for the Lord too. And that is true of our friend. When you found something great, you want to share with people. And that is true. David says, the Lord, the creator of heavens and earth, is my shepherd. And then he continues to say the word. And the other thing I like to kind of bring a little bit light here. New Testament has a way of shedding more light to what Psalms 23 is. Basically, David took over the role of a shepherd by declaring, by saying, he is the what? Good shepherd. And the good shepherd, he says, lays down for his sheep. And then they were, not only that, you will find that also in Hebrews, it says of Jesus, the great shepherd, and the lamb became their shepherd in Revelation. Now, when I have the Lord, I lack nothing, whether in plenty or in poverty. That is, learning to be content in all situations. Psalms 34, verse 10 says, Psalm 34, verse 10, lion may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack nothing, no good things. In other words, for those of us who know the Lord, we will not lack anything. Now, more than 2 million people that Israelites, that God led through the wilderness, were fed during the journey from the desert to the promised land in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 2-7. God provided all their basic needs, and therefore they lack nothing. So in Matthew chapter 25 also, kind of reminds us, Jesus said, look at the lilies of the field over here. Look at the birds of the air. They don't care about what they're going to eat tomorrow. And Jesus said, God even care for all this thing here. How much more we, as children of God, that he will take care of our needs. So what does it mean? God wants us to learn to put Jesus Christ in our lives, in all our riches, in all our needs. When we do so, he will give us a sense of contentment in all situations. Now, the opposite is also true. When we live without Jesus Christ in our lives, instead of being content with what we have, whether it is food, possession, job, relationship, or any of the situations, somehow all this thing can never satisfy us. Like what Blaise Pascal said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the hearts of every man that cannot be filled by created things except by God, by the Creator who made known in Jesus Christ. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12 says, meaningless is meaningless. Everything is meaningless. He has done all kinds of things. He has earned all kinds of things and have all kinds of education and did all kinds of things. And yet, it's at the end of the day, vanity is vanity. Everything is vanity. And because of that, why? Because God is not in the center of his life. If we have God, Jesus Christ, in the center of our hearts and life, we will be able to enjoy what God has blessed us with. Haggai chapter 1 says this, verse 6 says, you have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never enough. You drink, but have never filled. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. That is completely opposite of what the Israelites have gone through. They have gone through all these difficulties, and yet God has kept them and blessed them. But there are also a group of people whom try to earn all they can without God, and they continue to miss and not be satisfied with things. What does it mean, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ? It means this: invite Jesus Christ into your heart. Make Jesus number one in your life. If we did that, he will continue to bless us and to make our life be able to enjoy all the blessings of God. Now, he not only does that, he restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We often get tired. I know, for instance, for me, as I go through life over here, Pastor Lee and I, we were talking, as we are growing older, it's getting harder and harder to do things. And when we in our younger days, there are many things we could do, but nowadays we are thinking about, my goodness, this you can't do, that we can't do. When we eat, we have to be careful what we eat, and there are other things that we need. And so it is therefore very encouraging to have the Word of God reminding us that God himself, when I put him first, continued to restore my soul. In other words, my tired body, sometime my discouragement, sometime when I go through crisis in my life, I will be able to experience not only peace of God, but also the hands of God continue to lead us. And so, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that is what God wants us to do. And the Word of God in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, continue to encourage me. Anyone, Jesus said, is tired, discouraged, anxious, and weary, Jesus invites all to come to him, because he is the one who can take away that burden and give us a sense of peace. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the ancient time, as the shepherd, they have a staff that basically guide the sheep. They have also the rod that brings offensive weapon to drive away wild animals, robbers and things like that. And we know that in the scriptures, it reminds us that the rod also helped to discipline our children too. Here it reminds us over here, when David says, when I walk through the valley of shadow of death, we know that as we grow, older, we realize that in life, there's a saying that says, I hope there is light at the end of the tunnel. Sometime, the light at the end of the tunnel is not a real light. It is the train coming the opposite direction, right? In other words, somehow, for some of us here, we have gone through a lot of problems. It seems like there is no end to crisis in life. Even as we grow older, there are things that we have no control over. But here again, David, when he was writing this, he was thinking of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. Before they crossed the Red Sea, you have the Red Sea in front of them, and then the huge, powerful army of Pharaoh behind them want to kill them. So the question is, what do you do? It looks like it's a dead end either way. And sometimes we feel like that, don't we, when we are going through problems in our lives. It seems like there is no solution. Here again, David reminds us, that even in those moments, I fear no evil. Well, there may be times that God may say, hi, James, maybe it is the time for you to come to be with me. But other times, when he wants me to go through that, he says, James, I am going to be with you all the time. And do not fear what is in front of you or what is behind you. Don't focus on those things, but instead focus on me. You know why? Because when we focus on the things, we become very fearful. When my wife was going through seizures, sometime 4 or 5 times at night by herself, and I alone with her, it's a scary thing. I literally cried to the Lord because I really did not know who to turn to. I said, Lord, I really don't know what to do. Medicine doesn't seem to help. I am not a medical doctor. And what do I do now, Lord? Somehow the Lord says, I am going to be with you. Don't be afraid. Don't look at the problems. I'm going to help you to solve this thing here. Now, I want to tell you that after that 2 years, I'm seeing my wife now. Somehow the Lord has done a miracle. The tumor is gone. That it was pronounced no longer there. And that her seizures, that God used her medicine to take away her seizures. For more than a year now, she never had any seizures. And I praise God for that. But I know that for some of you, God may not completely heal you or touch you. But we all have this promise, the presence of God, God being with us all the time, and also we have the promise of God's homeland, the promised land in heaven for us, which is so much better than anything we have to offer. I still remember when Grace and I, we were living in an apartment, and somehow the Lord blessed us, and we were able to come up with down payment, and we decided to buy a house. Initially, when we were thinking about the new house, oh my goodness, we were so excited because we saw from ground foundation way building all the way up to that new house that we were about to move in. Every time we go there and visit that house, it becomes different. And before we even bought the house, during that time, houses were going like hotcakes. And every week, they increased about $10,000. We were like, whoa, we can't afford by the time. But we finally managed to build, and we saw that house being built from groundwork all the way here. And finally, we were able to move in. It was so exciting. And yet, after a few years, we realized that it's just a house. But the house that God has built for us is so much greater than that. So much greater than that. And so, the principle is this. When I look at my old, apartment that we live in, it was nothing. But when we progressed to that new house and we move in, it was something. But when God has take us home with Him, it's so much more beautiful. Yes, we leave behind a lot of people who are sad and difficult in a very difficult situation. And yet, looking beyond that, they are in a glorious land and glorious situation. And we should continue to praise God. And because of that, therefore, let us remind ourselves that even though I walk through valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they continue to comfort me. What does it mean, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ? It means this. Do not fear. Do not let fear reign in our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, live by faith and not by sight. As the Lord was with Israelite and David, He also will be with us. For many of us, harness that experience that you had with the Lord, God as your shepherd, and enduring moments that you are so tempted to give in and said, I am so tired, Lord, I want to give in to this fear or to this struggle. Don't ever go there, because when the Lord leads you, there are many surprises awaiting for us. And the devil wants us to be so discouraged and give up and raise our white flag. But let us not do that. But instead, allowing God to be our King and the Lord of Lords. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I only touch a few verses over here. But let us be reminded, the Lord truly is our shepherd. We shall not be in want. He, even though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, we will not fear any evil. Thank you so much. Bless you.